Amen. Today I want to share with you a word that God put in my heart kind of by surprise. By surprise. I was going in another direction. Those of you who preach the word, you may have had this happen to you where you were thinking of one particular. Maybe this has happened to you too, Brother Angel, where you're thinking of one song and God put another song in your mind. Well, this happened Friday night. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, it's a little late to switch signals on me right now. But how many of you know it's a better idea to listen to God than to play it safe? And as a matter of fact, that's a very good line right there. It's better to listen to God than to just play it safe. Because playing it safe will never get the job done. So today I want to speak with you about answering the highest call. Answering the highest call. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I have two scriptures I'd like to share with you. 2 Corinthians 5:15 and Philippians 3:14. If you'll take a moment, and I think we have them on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:15, this is referring to Christ. He died for all, or died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. He died so that we who live will no longer live for themselves. Christ who died, and we will live instead for Christ who died and was raised to life. Can you say amen? And then Philippians 3:14, Paul the Apostle saying these immortal words that have been preached on many times. I press on, forgetting what is behind. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call or the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus this morning. Lord, anoint us for this purpose, O God, and anoint our ears. Would you put your hand on your ears for a second? Lord, open my ears to understand and to hear your word today. And Lord, touch our hearts. Put your hand on your heart for a second. Lord, open my heart to hear what you're saying to me, Lord. Let this day, Lord, be pivotal in somebody's life. Let it be transformational. I hope you intercessors are praying with me right now. Pray with me right now. God, may our weakness be turned to strength. May we realize, Lord, that your power is enough. Your grace is sufficient for our needs. Say amen. We love you with all of our hearts today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you know, we just came through a Memorial Day remembrance last week. And it's a precious time. I love Memorial Day, and I am so emotional about it because we had the remembrance of those who fought on foreign soil, our military, people who stood in our place, who made a sacrifice to go overseas, left their families, in some cases, never came back, paid the ultimate sacrifice, laid down their lives so that we could be free. Some of those people didn't know us, but they went in our place. Can you say amen this morning? They went for us. Somebody had to fight tyranny. Somebody had to fight for our freedom. And thank God for those men and women who heard the call and were willing to respond to the call to go for our country. They believed in the ideals of America. They believed that America should remain free. They believed that America should have freedom of religion and freedom of speech and be able to meet in churches, that we should not follow fascism or Nazism or communism, but we should have freedom to choose the ideals that we believe in and to live freely for the things we believe in. Can you say amen? And it's so right to remember those people and to honor them. And I do so gladly, and I do it with all my heart. Somebody said, freedom is not free. That is a powerful statement. Freedom is not free, nor is it cheap. It costs an enormous amount of lives. If you think about World War I and World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnamese War and the Vietnam War and Afghanistan and Iraqi War and the war on terrorism, literally millions of American lives have been sacrificed to keep this country free. Brave men and women sacrificed their lives even to the last drop of their blood. We honor those who answered the call. We honor those who stepped up and said, I will go. I will go. I will be the one to get on the front lines. I will stand between darkness and light. I will stand and push back the evil in this world. And I will stand for what is right and what is decent. There are other people as well who devoted their life, not necessarily to the military, but they devoted their lives to other great causes, like finding cures for deadly diseases. You've probably heard the story of Madame Curie, who was studying radiation. And in the process, she was able to discover a way to be able to use radiation, or the X-ray, as they used to call it, to discover what was going on inside of people and to cure illnesses where people were dying because they had undiagnosed sicknesses and they didn't know what was going on. Now that the X-ray was invented because of Madame Curie's sacrifice, people's lives were saved. She died in the process. She died from radiation poisoning herself. But she made a sacrifice that saved many lives. There were doctors and volunteers in Africa who became infected and died from Ebola while trying to stop the pandemic of Ebola in Africa. And we remember them. And somebody say, it's right to honor them. They answered the call. They responded and they went and they put their lives on the line. They were not afraid to stand up for something they believed in. There were other volunteers, and there are hundreds of them in third world countries who, in the course of their mission, died or were killed, whether it was to bring education to poorer countries or to bring fresh drinking water somewhere in the world where they didn't even have fresh drinking water. There were many people who died in foreign countries for those causes, and we certainly honor their memory. Can you say amen? Some of you may be familiar with a man by the name of Rick Rescorla, who during the 9/11 crisis on September 11, 2001, he saw a plane crash into a Tower 1. He was in Tower 2. So it was not his building, it was the other building that he saw from the 44th floor. He was trained in security, and he had been trained in how to help people during fire drills and during emergencies, how to escort them down the stairs. So he had been trained for this. And so over the loudspeaker, there was an announcement from the Port Authority in building number 2, everybody stay where you are, nobody move. Nobody move. Stay where you are. He knew that was the wrong call. He picked up a foghorn, what do they call that? A bullhorn, I guess they call it. And he picked up his walkie-talkie, and he started ushering people out of Tower 2. Now, they had not even been hit yet. And he, with tremendous poise and tremendous confidence, he escorted almost 3,000 people, specifically from Morgan Stanley, the investment firm, out of that building, even after the second building, his building, was hit by the plane a little bit later, and the building was shifting. He didn't lose his cool. He said, just keep moving down. He helped everyone to get down. And then after successfully evacuating most of the employees from Morgan Stanley, he was going back in. One of his colleagues said, you know, Rick, it's time to save yourself. Our building is on fire. And here's what he said. He says, I will leave as soon as I make sure everyone else is out. I will leave as soon as I see everyone else is out. He was last seen going up the stairs on the 10th floor while everybody else was coming down. At 9:59 a.m., the building collapsed. His remains were never found. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He was going up the stairs while everybody else was going down. How many of you know, in a panic, everybody likes to run to the exits? When things are going wrong, it's like every man for himself. We all have those instincts, self-preservation. Come on now, let's be honest. I'm right there. I mean, I like to preserve myself. I don't want to be a dead hero necessarily. I'd rather be a live hero. Somebody say amen. that there is a calling, there is a time, there is a need for people to hear the call of God, to stand up. If these men and women who may not even necessarily been Christians, if they could stand up for a righteous cause, for something that changed the world, how much more should believers in Jesus Christ in these times that we're living in stand up and say, here am I, O Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We get very emotional about these stories, and we ask ourselves inside, do I have the courage? Will I be brave? Will my life count for something? Every Christian has the opportunity to make an eternal difference in this world. You could change somebody's life, not just in the present world, but in the world to come. Hallelujah. God is looking for men and women and young men and young women to preach the gospel, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to bring this message to a dark world. How many of you know we live in a world where hope is a rare commodity? People are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. Romans 5, 7 and 8 says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't just die for any old people. He died for every person. He didn't just die for his friends. He died for his enemies as well. Hallelujah. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that God is saying, who will grab the torch? Who will accept the mantle and the mission and the calling to bring the light of the gospel, to bring the love of Christ in a darkened world? Is there anybody who is listening to the highest call, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? Could there be any greater purpose than rescuing people's souls? Do you believe in eternal salvation? Is there anybody here who believes in eternity? So you believe that we're either going to be eternally with God or we're going to be eternally separated from God. I mean, just a quick theology lesson here. This is what the Bible teaches. That those who confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not ashamed in front of the world to say, you can take this whole world, but I'm going to follow Jesus. Even when the going gets tough, even when the chips are down, even when somebody perhaps put a gun to your head and say, renounce Jesus or die. That has happened in this world. And most of us may not have to get to that place. I hope that America never has that happen. But I tell you, I do believe persecution is already starting against the church. It's already starting. But the question is, who will be bold for Jesus? Who will say, I will stand for Christ? There is no greater calling. This is the highest calling. Because after this life, there's eternity. Only one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I hope somebody is resonating with this message today. The book of Proverbs 24, 11 and 12 says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Who will rescue those who are being taken away to death? Those whose eyes are blinded, those who are following the way of the world, those who are taking the broad way and the easy path. The Bible says broad is the way, easy is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way. Narrow is the door that leads to eternal life. But who will rescue those who are being taken away and those who are staggering to the slaughter or hold them back? If you say, well, we didn't know this, doesn't he who weighs our hearts consider? And doesn't he who watches over your soul not know it? In other words, you can't just close your eyes and say, there's no injustice, there's no sin in this world, there's no darkness, there's no Satan in this world. I mean, just look at the news. You see people being killed by violent crimes, and you see people committing all kinds of atrocious, heinous crimes. You know there's darkness in this world. And you know that a lot of people, even naively, are caught up in things. They're caught up. I didn't mean to get hooked on drugs. I didn't mean to turn a blind eye to injustice. But nobody else was paying attention, so I figured I'd just be safe. I'll go along with the crowd. What I'm saying this morning is it takes guts. It takes courage to answer the call of God. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I look for a man among them who would stand in the gap so that I would not have to bring judgment on the land. In the book of Ezekiel. I was looking for a watchman. I was looking for an intercessor. I was looking for someone on the college campus. I was looking for someone in the business world, someone in the law enforcement world to stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Where are you? Where are the soldiers of the cross? Where are those who are listening to the highest calling of God? 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. He died so that we who live will no longer live for ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have to die a physical death to be saved. Thank God for that. We don't have to die physically in order to be saved. Jesus took care of that. He died already for all of us. But in a sense, we all died to ourselves. In Christ's death, we're saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Because Jesus said in the garden, Father, if it is possible for this cup to pass, please, Lord, if there's some other way. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Christ paid the price that we could never pay. Christ died the death that we should have died. He sacrificed his life for us so that we could be forgiven and brought back to God, so that we could live in harmony with God. The importance of our mission on this earth cannot be overstated. There's a call going out, not just for pastors, not just for missionaries, but just people who love Jesus wherever you are. Amen. The devil is afraid of the ordinary Christian who is just in love with Jesus. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist to stand up for Jesus. You could stand up for Jesus at the job. You can stand up for Jesus at home or at school or wherever you go. You can make a sacrifice by saying, I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. Amen? There are so many examples of people's lives who have been wasted. I mean, I started reading some of these, and they're just unbelievable. You can't believe this. You cannot make this stuff up. People who wasted their lives because of a dare or because of foolishness. A couple of security guards who were buddies were drinking a little bit too much. And one guy, one of the security guards who was wearing a bulletproof vest, got the idea. He said to his buddy, I wonder if this vest is also knife-proof. Obviously, they were under the influence, not of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. They were under the other influence. And believe it or not, this is actually an actual event. You can find it in history. The guy said, well, let's try it out. Here, take your knife. Try to stab me in my bulletproof vest. Well, guess what? It didn't work. The guy died instantly. There was another man who accepted a dare from his friends to eat a live fish. And then as the man was choking on this big fish that he was trying to swallow, the 911 operator gets a call that somebody is choking on fish, and they thought it was a restaurant. But instead, it was at somebody's house. And the emergency workers, I don't know if, Angel, you ever got to see something like this, come and they see this man choking on the floor with the fin of the fish waving in his mouth, flapping back and forth. They couldn't revive him. He died. And this one really gets to me. There was a lawyer who was working on the 24th floor of the Toronto Dominion Center. Some of you who've been to Toronto maybe know where this is. 24th floor of the Toronto Dominion Center. He was so impressed with the glass that how thick it was in his office, and he was telling his friends that it's unbreakable. And so he slammed his body against it a few times, and he said, I'm going to try one more time. He steps back, and he runs with all his might. And guess what? The glass let loose, and he died. He just fell 24 floors down to his death. The foolishness of this world. We don't have to die foolishly, but we have to die to our selfish ambition. Somebody say amen. The cross is about death to self. And I know this is not popular today, but when you go to the cross, you must decide whose will is going to prevail in your life. Jesus said, if any man would be my disciple, anyone would be my disciple, he must take up his cross. Take up his cross and follow me. I want to stir your hearts today with this message. What are you going to live for? And what are you willing to die for? What are you going to live for? And what are you willing to die for? Leonard Ravenhill, who is a famous revivalist and author of many books. How many of you have heard of Leonard Ravenhill? Some of you have. Wrote many books on revival. He was a good friend of David Wilkerson. On his gravestone, he passed away a number of years ago. On his grave, he had these words imprinted. So everybody who would visit his grave would remember these words. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? That's a pretty sobering statement, would you say? As Christians, we have received a mandate from heaven to be a part of the greatest mission, the greatest cause, with the greatest reason, I guess you could say, the souls of men at stake. I remember when I was a young man, I was in my room, and I felt led to open the Bible, and I opened the Bible to John 15, and I read these words of Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. It was God's way of getting my attention and making me understand that there was a calling on my life. My particular calling happened to be as a pastor. But again, I want to make sure that not everybody in this room feels like that's the only way to serve God. Because every one of us is a servant of God. Every one of us is a minister of the gospel. Every one of us is a living epistle known and read of all men. Can I have the water there, honey? Excuse me. If you're a living epistle, here's a good question. What do people learn about God by reading your life? If you are a living epistle, in other words, you're a story about God, what do people get closer to God? And I'm saying this to myself too, preaching this at myself as well, because I need this message. I need this message. I want people to be drawn to Jesus because of the way I live. What should it benefit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? Is there anything worth more than a soul? The souls of men and women all over the world are hanging in the balance. Isaiah the prophet heard God say, and who shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. There are fields of human souls that are like a harvest waiting to be brought in. God is looking today to see who will work for me, who will stand up for the cause of Christ, who will not be ashamed of the gospel, not be ashamed to bow their head in a public place and give thanks for their food. Come on now, somebody say amen. Not afraid to carry a Bible with you at work, or a Bible in the classroom, or wherever you go. How could we ever be ashamed of Jesus? How could we ever be? He hung on that cross, bleeding, dying, and naked for 6 hours. I don't want to ever be ashamed of the gospel, and I need God's help. I'm not all that brave by myself. Somebody say amen. I'm not all that heroic. I have to tell you, I'm just as human as anybody else. This is a work in progress in my life. But we have an obligation, as our text says, and I close with this today. He died so that we who live should no longer live unto themselves. How much of your life have you given to God? Have you given 80%? Have you given 90? Have you given 95? But even that 5% belongs to Him. Can you say amen? What a debt of love we owe to God. You know, you could never earn your salvation. You could never pay for it. Aren't you glad salvation is free? Salvation is free, but living for Christ involves a whole lifetime. It involves everyday decisions. It involves choices that we must make on an everyday basis. I'm going to close with this story from Josh McDowell's, who was, many of you know, worked with Campus Crusade many, many years. He is an author of many books on apologetics. Evidence That Demands a Verdict was a bestseller. But when I was growing up in the ministry, he wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It was an apologetic for the cause of Christ, showing that the Bible is credible and Christian faith is rational, these things. Very important author. He was in South America on a student campus during the time of the Marxist uprising. And he tells this story. And he was at a particular campus where there were a lot of student revolutionaries. And he went to one of the campus clubs. And apparently, these communist revolutionaries, these Marxists, they flooded the place with their own students, and they were trying to bust up his Christian meeting. Are you with me this morning? And so he got up to speak, and he was trying to speak in Spanish because he had studied Spanish, and they were laughing at him, and they were making fun of him. They were mocking him. They called him a filthy pig, and they mocked him, and they went on and on, and he tried for about 45 minutes to get a hold of the crowd to get to listen to him. And they just, it was just getting nowhere. He was like literally, if you've ever spoken in public and you didn't feel it was going well, you felt like you wanted to melt and hide under the carpet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that's what he felt like. He just wanted to run away and hide. But after 45 minutes, a young lady got up and spoke to the rest of the group. He found out later on, she was the secretary or one of the officers of the student revolutionary movement. And when she stood up to speak, everybody got very quiet. Apparently, she was somebody important in their eyes. And this is what she said. Mr. McDowell, if I become a Christian tonight, will God give me the love for people that you have shown us? Mr. McDowell, if I become a Christian tonight, will God give me the same love for people that you have shown us tonight? After she said that, eyes were filled with tears, hearts were melting. The presence of God came into the room. 58 students made decisions for Jesus Christ. Somebody give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Answering the highest calling. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for the medical profession. Thank God for engineers. We need all of them. But more importantly, we need people to be the light and the salt of the earth, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Is there anybody listening to the Holy Spirit this morning? Anybody listening to the call of God on their life? There's a whole generation coming up. And statistically, the numbers are not good. There are less millennials, less Generation Y, Generation Z, and all of these statistics about less people going to church, less people following Christ, less people believing the Bible. Friends, who is going to stand up for the light? Who is going to stand up for Jesus? I want to give you a personal story that God reminded me of. And somebody come, Pastor Angel, would you come to the piano for a second? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I was about 19 or 20 years old, we were part of a gospel group that traveled all over the country. We sang as a trio, and we sang a gospel. I'm sorry, Angel, I didn't realize you were there. Sorry. Thank you, Jesus. And we were upstate, going upstate, and we were there. Very young, very inexperienced, and I personally was still, I still had a lot to learn. Had a lot to learn about dying to self and living for God. It was in winter time, and we met this man at the church who was going to take our equipment, and he was going to take us to the church the next day, but we were going to stay at his house overnight. And he put our equipment in his van, and he's taking us to his house. And there's a long, long hill going upstate. This is way up in the Newburgh area, somewhere like that. And it's all full of snow, and it's full of ice. And now this man is trying to get us with all that equipment up that hill, and his tires are slipping and spinning. And all of a sudden, he went into intercessory prayer mode. And he went into, militant, spiritually militant mode. And he started saying, Jesus, Jesus, help me, help me, help us to get up this hill. And he's screaming and praying. And I don't know if he was speaking in tongues or what, but he was asking, pleading with Jesus to help. And I was in the back, and I thought it was kind of funny. I'm ashamed to say this. But I was kind of smirking and giggling to myself. But believe it or not, God answered that man in his simple faith, crying out, Jesus, Jesus, help us get up this hill. And he got us all the way up to his hill, to the where his house was. And God spoke to me. And that was about 50 years ago, okay? But to this day, I'm ashamed of how immature I was. Because I realized that man had more of God than I had in my whole, more in his little finger than I had in my whole body. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The call of God takes courage. It takes guts. It takes a real man and a real woman to follow God. Yes. It's not for wimps. That man, to this day, has all my respect. Because he got us up that hill in his simple way, crying out to Jesus. God heard his simple prayer. With all the theology, with all the Bible study I had, I didn't have the kind of faith that he had. You see what I'm getting at today? You see what I'm getting at? You got to be humble if you want to walk with God. You got to be a learner. You got to be teachable if you want to walk with God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing together. What are we playing? Yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he leads me, I will go.
Hallelujah.
I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he leads me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Would you close your eyes with me and just bow your head for a moment? Father God, We thank you for allowing this message to be spoken, Lord, to be declared. I pray with all my heart, Lord, that somebody will take up the call. As a result of this message, somebody will answer the call to be more Christ-like, to start attending a Bible study, start praying over their meals, start worshiping God in their room by themselves, listening to Christian music, start being more loving, watching their words, watching their attitude. But there's a world around us that needs to see real Christians. Somebody say amen. There's a world around us that needs to see a demonstration of real Christians. I'm just going to ask you, before we have communion on the screen, with your eyes closed, your head down, is there anybody here who has a question? Has a call, not necessarily be a pastor or missionary, but to be a strong Christian. God has a call on my life to shine my light, to salt the earth. Would you raise your hand while eyes are closed and heads are bowed? Would you raise your hand this morning? Yes, 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 yes. Many hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray, God, that you will just strive with those, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will knock on the heart's doors of those who need to respond to you, Lord. They will hear your voice clearly, Lord, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Wherever they go, may they be a witness. May they be a servant, a worker for Jesus Christ. And all God's church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Angel, would you join me here for a moment?
Angel, would you mind?
I trust by now you've all received your communion. And I think God arranged this way because if you think about it, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He made the greatest sacrifice, didn't he? He paid the greatest price. Not just for time, but for eternity. Can you say amen? Thank you, Father. On the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread after giving thanks. He broke it and it said, do this in remembrance of me. Take this bread, eat it, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your precious Son, Lord. We thank you, God, that he paid a price that none of us could pay. Hanging naked on a cross for all the world, in front of all the world. And sometimes we're so afraid, we're so ashamed to acknowledge you, Lord. I don't know if there's anybody else out there, but God's really speaking to my heart today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole, Lord. Thank you, God, for this precious emblem of your bread, of your body, Lord. We receive it now in faith. Let the church receive it now in faith, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God.
This message really touched me today. Hallelujah. You know, Christianity was legitimized. The church was under Constantine, I believe. given preeminence with buildings and become, you know, an accepted religion and official. And we all would clap and say, that's a great, great thing. And I'm glad that God allowed us to be brought in the fold. But, you know, sometimes the church was thriving under persecution and when they were being led by the Holy Spirit. But when, you know, people started just taking the gospel in their own hands and, you know, religion became the issue, not relationship, it was a dangerous thing. So I don't know about you, but communion reminds me that it's not about religion. It's not about formalities. It's about a real relationship. And we can go through motions and no one can know what's really going on inside except you and the Lord. But I believe this morning he's asking us to surrender and to look inside, to take off the guise, take off the cloak of religiosity and put on the likeness of Christ, who he really is. So as we drink this cup this morning, as Pastor had us take the bread, Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant with you. On the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, he said, I'm making a new covenant, where in the Old Testament you would have to kill animals and do all kinds of things to earn a relationship with God. He said, I'm going to be the lamb. I'm going to be the lamb. And when you drink this cup of the new covenant, you remember what he did. And you remember that we are holy and acceptable when we accept him as our Savior. But some of us, it's only a fire escape. But I remember a song, and it said, if he's not our Lord, if he's not the Lord, he's not Savior. He's got to be Lord of all. So this morning, God is saying, go deeper in me. Don't be afraid of me. I used to hide sometimes in missionary chapels at Bible college. I used to hide. I was so fearful God was going to call me to some exotic place and I would miss my family. And finally, I realized there's no need to be afraid of the one who loves us perfectly. He formed you. He knows you. He'll equip you wherever he calls you, whether it's at your job, at your home, your faraway land, or around the corner. He'll equip you, and it'll be the greatest adventure of your life. I just want to encourage you not to be afraid of his calling, to say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to you, Lord. And Lord, as we drink this cup this morning, Lord, we want to say we're not afraid of you, Lord, and your will, Lord. No one loves us like you do. Not one loves us like you do. The greatest of loves in this world is only a pale limitation of the pure, true love of God. So Lord, as you on that night said, I'm giving you a new covenant and my blood is going to be the sign. And this cup is going to be the sign of the new covenant. Lord, and you said, as long as we do this, as Catalyst Church this morning and those who are doing this at home with us, we're saying, Lord, thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the new covenant you made, Lord, that we could stand clean and pure before you, Lord. And Lord, where we can, even those areas that don't want to surrender, we could trust you and have power and victory in Jesus' name. And as we take this cup, let's remember his death until he comes, this blood he shed for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord just dropped in my heart, somebody is being healed physically. I don't know if you're here or if you're home, but as you took this in his name, something happened physically, a miracle. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And please let us know. We'd love to share that testimony. Let's all stand together one more time. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me.
Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood is my victory. Sing it one more time. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Oh, the blood, it is my victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory today, Lord. Hallelujah. And as Pastor Angela said, we need never fear the one who loves us perfectly. Somebody say with me, perfect love casts out fear. Don't be afraid of giving your whole life to Jesus. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at our prayer service and tonight our team leaders meeting. God bless you.